And turn to your Bibles to Psalms chapter 100. We got some rowdy kids this morning, don't we? It's sunshine. We need to be very thankful for our children's minister this morning. Amen. Psalms chapter 100. And guys, as we read through this, the reason why I asked them to sing that song is it's Psalms 100, that first song. So Psalms 100, verses 1 through 5, says this: "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his sheep and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, with his courts with praise. Give thanks to him, bless his name. For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word this morning. And Lord, I want to give you thanks and honor you this morning for who you are. And we are your sheep this morning. Lord, we thank you and we love you. As we break down these verses, Father, let us have grateful hearts this morning, and let us have joy and thanksgiving for all that you do for us, and not just for what you do, but just for who you are, and that we are your creation. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. All right, so we have been really working through a lot of things that the church needs to watch out for as we grow, and this isn't the direction that I was going with the sermon this morning, but it fits the perfect time of year that we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving, and I think we need to check ourselves, and we need to think, are we joyful, and are we thankful for what God's given us? So that's what we're going to talk about today, and this week, you know that we're going to celebrate Thanksgiving on Thursday. We actually had celebrated Thanksgiving a little bit early on my side of the family yesterday. We had everybody come over yesterday at noon, and you know, when you get into this time of year, you start thinking of Thanksgiving, and you start thinking of turkey, and stuffing, and mashed potatoes, and pumpkin pie. I mean, guys, I say this all the time, but why do we only eat stuffing and pumpkin pie once a year? That's just crazy, isn't it? I mean, but you start thinking about that, and then you think Thursday's like football day, where you always got to watch the Lions and the Cowboys play, because those are the traditional teams. Or maybe you think of the long weekend. I know my wife loves to think of Thanksgiving as actually not the day, but the next day after Thanksgiving. Which I want to completely avoid, Black Friday, you know, where everyone goes shopping. And for you shoppers out there, you probably look forward to Thanksgiving for that. And maybe just spending time with family. So there's a lot of reasons for this, or why we look forward to Thanksgiving. But Thanksgiving is not just a day for food and for us to watch some football and gather with family. It's not just a holiday that we do celebrate the fourth Thursday every single year. But Thanksgiving was a distinctive holiday that George Washington set about. And in 1789, George Washington made this public proclamation. This is what he said: "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey his will, to be grateful for his benefits, and to humbly implore his protection and favor." That doesn't sound like a whole much of separation of church and state either, does it? So that's the whole point behind the holiday. It's not for anyone, you know, to remember a battle or somebody's birthday. It is literally so we can set aside a day to be thankful and grateful for God for what he's done for us and our country. And this year, it's really no different. A lot of us know the story of the Pilgrims and Indians, and you know, I think I talked about that last year, but we know about all that. But here in Scripture, Psalms 100, the actual headline of this is "His steadfast love endures to ever forever," and it's a psalm for giving thanks. And that's exactly what David was doing here, is giving thanks in Psalm 100. And I want to point out some words here in Psalms 100, 1 through 5. And I want to focus on those this morning. I want to talk about those. And the first one is joy. And in verse 1, it says, "Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth." You know, it got me thinking about the times that we make joyful noises and we get excited. And you know, if I'm just being honest with myself, there's a lot of people, and myself included, we don't have any problem getting excited if we were to go to a football game. I mean, we're yelling and hollering, or a basketball game. Well, you try not to holler too much at basketball games. I do usually, but very rarely we get excited about going to stuff like that. But I wonder, do we really get excited when we come here to worship? Very rarely do we even raise our voices in church and have a genuine heart of being thankful when we come in and having joy in our lives. I mean, really, it's okay. It's really okay sometimes if you really just want to say amen during a sermon, okay? It's okay because you're being joyful in the Lord and you're agreeing, amen, back in the back. There we go. Our lives are meant to be joyful and we're supposed to get excited. Somebody sent me something this week that said, you know, the pastor said that I'll get excited about going to the football game and I'll be all excited about that, but I never do when I come to church. So I decided I'm going to get as excited as coming to church as I do at the end of a football game this week in church. And the guy said, well, then they asked me to never come back to the church. And they said, why would you not want us to come back? Why did they not want you to come back to church? He said, well, when the pastor got done preaching, I took a thing of Gatorade and poured over his head, right? So let's don't go that far this morning, okay? But being joyful about something and being joyful and being happy to be here, right? Me and Hunter, I told you guys, me and Hunter had went through and watched the series World War II in color. And it was great educational. I tried to teach him and talk to him about what the men of our country sacrificed so that we could be here today. And it reminded me as I was getting this together, does anyone know what happened on May 8th, 1945? Any of my history buffs in here? May 8th, 1945. Anybody? Okay, they called it VE Day. It was Victory in Europe Day. And when Nazi Germany surrendered to the Allies, we said May 8, 1945, we're going to call it Victory in Europe Day or VE Day. And the whole country celebrated. I mean, there were people out in the streets. Confetti was flying everywhere. Everybody was joyful and they were excited. And it was a huge celebration and there were shouts of praise. And there's some really iconic photos from that. And we watched that in this and people were excited. And they, boy, it was just awesome. And after the war was over, the victory had been won. Guys, we need to think of this also. And how this ties in is we're in a war right now, but we win. So we should be joyful about whose side we're on. We should be excited about Christ. And so I need to be, and I want us to be joyful because God has the victory. And that should fill us with joy that we are his sheep of his pasture, as this says. So the first word today is joyful. And we ask ourselves, are we joyful? Are we joyful Christians? Are we just cranky and crabby and in a bad mood? Or do people really look at us and think, man, They're excited about their relationship with Christ. They're excited. They're joyful. They're thankful. Second word here is found in verse 2, and it's gladness. And it says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. There's a big difference if we look at the words gladness versus sadness. When we come before the Lord, we should be glad about getting to do that. I mean, there's times when I think we come in to a morning service or we come to a Wednesday night and instead of it being a worship service, it's more like a funeral service. We come in and we're just like downtrodden or we're just, our heads are down and oh man. When we come in here, it should be like not a funeral service, it should be a resurrection service. Because we're serving a resurrected king. We're serving a resurrected God. So we should be excited about that, and we should be glad about that. So when we come before the Lord, be glad. Be thankful for what we have. And guys, this isn't, I know I'm maybe beating a dead horse this morning because we talk about this every Thanksgiving, but it's important to check yourself and to not get in a routine. You know, you get in a rut sometimes where, you know, it's just the same old, and there's nothing exciting and there's nothing to be. We should be thankful and be glad for what God's done for us. The third thing here is in Psalms 103 where it says, know that the Lord, he is God. He is, He is who has made us, and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So the third thing here is that we are dependent upon God. We are dependent upon who God is, that God is Lord. Here's the thing. We need to make him our ruler, our boss of our lives. Everything about our lives, we should have God controlling it, that we are dependent upon him and nothing else. And so many times, we as Christians get dependent on things of the world, that we think that will fulfill our needs or give us the gladness or the happiness. And you see this a lot even in Hollywood with people that they have a whole lot of money, and you think on a worldly perspective that, man, they have a lot to be happy and joyful about, and yet they live some of the most miserable, depressing lives you can ever see. We have something really to be joyful and glad about, that we are dependent upon God, that he is our Lord and Savior. And God, here's the thing, God is God and I'm not, and you're not. So we are dependent upon him. God told Moses, I am who I am. That's in Exodus 3:14. We have no more control over God than we do the weather, right? God is God and we're not. We're dependent upon him, and we need to make sure that we are making him our Lord and our Savior, that he has control of every area of our lives, not just the easy things to give up to him, but the hard stuff too. And that he is our Lord and our Savior, and we're dependent upon him. Second thing here is that he created everything. He created everything, and he is greater. Anytime you make something, you are above what you make. It's a natural order of things. Well, God created everything, so he has every right over which we've been made. He has the rights over us. So he's our creator, and that's what it says in Psalms 100, verse 3. Let's read that again. It says, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his. So he created us, and we are his. The third thing is he's our shepherd. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. God guides us to a place of security and rest. And this reminded me, in Scripture, they use shepherds a lot in Scripture. Shepherds are listed a lot. They're talked about a lot. Even the king of Israel, the most famous probably king of Israel, King David, was a shepherd. He was a shepherd. And it reminded me of King David whenever he was tending his sheep. And he told Saul, he said, when I would tend my sheep, if a bear or a lion would come, I would attack it and I'd kill it with my bare hands. David tended his sheep. He watched over them. He protected them. He kept them close. They knew David, and sheep know. It's like you have cattle. You know, you can go out to feed your cows and you can call your cows and they will literally make a beeline for you, right? Because they know you. They're yours. If I was to go out and try to call your cattle, they're going to go, I don't know who in the world that guy is. And they're not going to come. We're the same way. God is our shepherd and we're sheep and he protects us. And does that mean that sometimes the wolf won't bite us on the ankle and give us a scar? Yeah, it's going to happen. But in the end, if you are a follower of Christ, you're one of his sheep and you are going to have eternal protection from him. We are his sheep. The Lord is my shepherd. What is Psalm 23, 1-3? He says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. If we are created, he is the creator. We're his sheep, he's the shepherd. We enter his courts because he's the king. We serve him because he is our master. We're dependent upon God. He created even the air that we're going to breathe, that we're breathing. Everything that he is, we're dependent upon him. And when you recognize that, you're thankful and you have joy and you love him. All right, the fourth thing here in verse 4. You can't give thanks for something if you're not thankful. Verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. Thanksgiving and being thankful comes from having a thankful heart. It's being appreciative for what he's given us. In Luke chapter 17, turn there. There's a great example of a lack of thanksgiving in Scripture. Luke chapter 17. Very interesting story here in Luke 17. It's in verses 11 through 19. Very interesting story. So Jesus enters this village in Scripture here. And upon entering, he finds 10 men who are lepers. And they stood a long ways off because lepers weren't allowed to go into the population. They weren't allowed to be around everyone else. Lepers were put outside because it was a very, very contagious disease. And what happened with leprosy is if you had leprosy, literally like your fingers would start falling off. Your extremities would start rotting and falling. It was a horrible disease. And so lepers were supposed to stay away from people. So Jesus is entering this village, and there's 10 men who are lepers, and they call out. And this is a disease that separates you from your family. I mean, it's like the worst thing you can get. And they call out to Jesus and say, "Jesus, have mercy on us. Have mercy on us." And Jesus says, "Go show yourself to the priests." Now, they hadn't been cleansed yet, but on the way to the priest, they were healed. They were healed. And they left before they were cured, and they were healed. But you know what happened? Only one of them. Even though Jesus had healed them of the worst possible thing that you could have, and now they could go back to their families, now they could go back to society, only one came back. He was healed, he turned around, and he went back. And it says in Scripture, he fell down on his face. And he glorified God and thanked Jesus for what he had done. But only one out of the 10 went back to give him thanks. And what did Jesus ask him? Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Guys, that's a picture of us. God has provided for us, even living where we are. The opportunity tonight to come and have a feast. I mean, we're going to eat up tonight, right? There are people all over this world that would literally die for that opportunity. We are so blessed and thankful. Do we give thanks for what God has done for us? Just basic things. Are we really thankful for what God? Hey, this morning, I got up. Well, it was actually last night. Took a nice hot shower. I have running water. I mean, there's basic necessities that I need to be thankful for that God's provided us that a lot of people don't have. You know, so I want to take a second this morning. This is going to be the interactive time. I want to take a second, and I want to ask you this morning what you're thankful for. I'm going to tell you what I'm thankful for this morning. I'm thankful for my God and my Savior, and that he has mercy on me, that he loved me while I was still a sinner. I'm thankful for my family. I'm thankful for my wife who has to put up with a lot for me. I'm thankful that she's there for me. I'm thankful for my kids. I'm thankful for my godly parents who raised me in a Christian home and taught me right from wrong. I'm thankful for my job that the Lord's provided me, that I can provide for my family. I'm thankful for my church family. I'm thankful for all of you. I could spend an hour walking around this room and telling each of you how much I appreciate you and how thankful I am for you. So I want you to take some time. We never usually do this. This one thing in South Africa that I loved about their service is they would have a time of testimony where they could people would stand up and say what God has done in their life. So I want to take a second. If you would like to stand and say what you're thankful for this year, maybe it's somebody here, maybe it's not, whatever. I want to offer that right now. Would somebody like to stand and tell us what they're thankful for? I'm going to call on some people if nobody wants to stand up and do this. All right. We got a good volunteer. Amen.
Well, I got a lot to be thankful for. I thank God for the transformation that's happened in my
interactive time today.
I'm thankful that tonight will be my second Thanksgiving meal with this church. And the first time I came, I was a visitor and got to meet a lot of people, but I didn't have any intentions of being here this year. And I was just invited as a guest, so I'm really thankful to have the opportunity to join this church body. And I'm thankful for all the members here and you here. I'm just thankful to the Lord for an opportunity to kind of start things new again in Marshfield. And I'm thankful for that.
Amen. Anybody else?
I'm thankful for God bringing us home to this congregation and meeting new believers and reuniting with old believers that we've been with, and just this place that we get to call home church and raise our boys in, and you guys encouraging Dave and I, and being able to serve alongside you. And just being here.
Amen. Amen. We love babies around here. Did I tell you guys that? Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? Amen.
I am so thankful for our Lord. He is just so amazing. And I'm so thankful for the reuniting with my family as well, and for the inspiration that he has become to my husband, and for the changes that my husband is making, that the Lord is just liberating him from his addictions, and he's just making us a stronger family. And I'm really thankful for this church, and we've been searching for a long time, and just to fall into it is just amazing. And I'm thankful every day for every single thing that he does for us. We are just so blessed.
Amen. Thank you. Anybody else? Going once, twice, Alan. All right.
Started
Anybody else? All right. Yes. Amen. Anybody? Yes.
I'm thankful for this time, church, and the way everybody in here treats everyone else, cares so much. So thankful for the Sunday night men's group, the guys at the ranch, and the guys on the roof.
Amen. Anybody else? Anybody else? And that's tough, right? For her. Thank you. Anybody else? Okay, last verse this morning, Romans 11:36. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. Exactly what he just said is this morning, our praise and our thanksgiving, our worship needs to be directed not to anybody else, but to God. We need to be thankful for all that he has done. So I want to challenge you that this Thanksgiving, when it gets busy and there's events and there's a lot going on, to take some time and be thankful for what God has done for you, for your family. Have some joy and gladness in your hearts and gratitude and depend on him today and nothing else. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning, and we love you. And just like all these folks have mentioned this morning, just how grateful we are and thankful we are for you. And first and foremost, that you sent your Son, Lord, to die for us. That without his death and sacrifice, Father, we were separated. And through him, when we put our faith and trust in him, we now are not separated. We have eternal life with you in heaven one day. And so we're so thankful for that. Father, I'm thankful for this church. If there's folks here this morning that need to make the commitment to become members here and join this local body and to serve, Father, let them not put it off anymore, but let them be proactive in their service to you at this church. Father, if there are people here that have never made a commitment to you, Lord, let your Holy Spirit reach them. And this morning, they not leave here without being a follower of yours. Maybe there's folks here that just aren't serving and not doing what they're supposed to do. Father, burden their hearts and let them be burdened this morning that to be thankful to you for the gifts that you've given them and let them use those gifts. We love you, Lord. And Lord, thank you for our time this evening that we're going to get to spend with one another fellowshipping, Lord. And once again, we just love you and we thank you for who you are and we want to worship you. In Jesus' name we do ask it all. Amen. If you would stand this morning.
How great.
Has a few things before she gets to that. Guys, I just want to tell you that I love you all. I'm very thankful for you. I'm thankful for your prayers. Like Mike up front, I'm not going to embarrass him, but two or three times a week, I get a text from him, just a random text that says, man, I prayed for you today. I love you. Thank you. You know how much that means when we do that for one another, when we encourage one another, and we just pray for each other, and we're there for one another. I appreciate that stuff, and I love you all. If there's anything I can do for you, let me know. I'm ready to have a great time tonight, and Jamie has a couple things on that.
Okay. I just wanted to...